Hi, this is Ramona Zabriskie. You know, I'm a sailor at heart. I would love to be out on the waves any day. And a sailor prefers fair winds, but doesn't always get fair winds, right? I have actually been on a tall ship during a real doozy of a storm. And that's what I want to talk about today in our podcast, is how to manage a storm, basically, or a crisis in your family, in your marriage. How, when those things unexpectedly disrupt our lives, what are you going to do?
Bags are packed. Are you ready to go? This time tomorrow we'll be on the road, riding with you in the sunnier days. I wouldn't want it any other way.
Welcome to the Wife Savers Podcast, where multi-award-winning author and global marriage educator Ramona Zabriskie provides answers to your real wife questions. Our goal is to help you appreciate your womanhood, prioritize your personal development, and craft a powerful partnership with the man in your life. Hi, I'm Hannah Allen, and I'm proud to introduce my parents, Ramona and Dale Zabriskie. And yes, this is how they talk all the time. Let's listen.
Hi, it's Dale Zabriskie channeling his inner Gene Autry today. Back in the saddle again with Ramona Zabriskie with the Wife Savers Podcast.
Gene Autry. I wonder how many of our listeners
know. That's, I'm Gene dating myself. Autry. I mean, you know, he.
And I didn't know you had an inner one either.
I didn't either. It kind of surprised me. He started singing.
Tell us who Gene Autry is.
So Gene Autry was a singer, from country singer. He was born in the early part of the 20th century, and then became
a big bio is fine.
Movie star. Yeah. In 1932, he moved to, but he died about 20 years ago. So
okay. That's why a lot of people. So he's not in the saddle anymore.
No, he is not.
But one of his famous songs is "Back in the Saddle
That's right.
Again."
Yeah, yeah. Right. The whole early country swing stuff, you know.
Well,
he was a leader in that.
That was a fun intro. So we're back in the saddle
that's
with
it.
A new back.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, I have a. Surgically repaired back. Which
yes.
Is one reason we've been out of the saddle.
Exactly. That is one of the reasons that we've not been forthcoming with another podcast. Because
right.
Not only were you recovering from your fifth spinal surgery.
My fifth, yeah.
But you didn't have a voice.
You weren't
speaking that whole time.
I think I lost it at the hospital or something. I don't know. I've been looking for it. That's true.
It.
That's true.
Those are just a couple of reasons. What else have we have? You know what else happened during the between last podcast and this one?
Yeah,
the
sad
thing
moment.
That makes me cry in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
We lost our kitty.
Yeah, our kitty got too old. And
for those of my students who have watched my beautiful white kitty crossing in and around me during my live events or in a video.
She loves it.
Lexi.
She wasn't camera shy.
Yeah, she liked being on camera. But very sadly, we lost her in the last couple of weeks. And that was a real blow for the whole family, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was hard because everybody loved her.
And then our oldest, our firstborn, who is severely disabled, had her wisdom teeth out, and that wasn't an easy. And then my parents were moving out of their home into their lifelong home into a new retirement home facility, and I was very involved in that.
Very hard on
this. Has
everybody
all been
there.
Going on while I've been trying to hold it together myself, while I've been also doing my work as a wife saver.
Yeah, and I think our listeners could sit and probably run through a lot of things just like that in their lives.
Well,
right?
That's
that
so
are going
true.
On.
That's so true. And, it happens.
One,
to
two, you're always moving from one thing to another.
Oh, and here's our question for the day that proves it. Ready?
I'm ready.
Ramona, this is throw me a wife saver. Ramona, what are some helps for smoothing our relationship in times of crisis? Do you have a trauma kit / advice?
A trauma kit. Pull here for emergency.
Last I looked, Costco was totally out of trauma kits.
They were out of trauma kits yesterday. Said there'd be some more in on Monday.
We haven't even, you know, in our list of personal crises, the world is in crisis. Yeah. We're all a little frightened of the virus.
Right. The coronavirus is...
What's the real name of it?
They're calling it COVID-19.
That's it.
And so it's kind of dating when we're recording this podcast.
Yes.
But that's all happening and
it's all
developing
in
the United States.
Oh, and where's the epicenter?
Yeah, just about 180 miles north of us.
So, we're in Washington State, where everybody's looking with horror. Yep, it's right up the street from us. And so, yes, we have... sufficient toilet paper.
Last week.
Why is everyone so worried about toilet paper?
Yeah, it's interesting. Everybody's acting like it was hurricane in Florida. It's a hurricane thing. All the water and the toilet paper and the paper towels. And, of course, there's no hand sanitizer to be found.
Yeah, it's the big headline all over the country. Yeah. Costco's out of toilet paper.
That's right. Everybody's posting pictures on social media of it.
But because of our daughter, we actually do have the gloves and the masks and... we already have all that stuff. So I think we're in pantries stocked and we're ready to hunker down if needed. But hunkering down is just one of the solutions, or rather the strategies that we think of when we think about how do we deal with a crisis. But crises come in all shapes and sizes. And you know where I always go when I'm thinking about a catastrophe or a crisis? It's burned into my DNA. Is the story of my third great grandfather, who was the second officer on a steamer packet ship that ran between Panama and New York City, back and forth, carrying passengers, mail, treasure, back in the mid-1800s. And in 1857, while he was the second officer on this ship, they ran into the worst hurricane on record just off the Carolina coast, about 200 miles off the Carolina coast. And that ship actually sprung a leak, ran into some serious issues with over 500 people on board.
Yeah, it's a real different situation than now. The sidewheel steamer that it was, and the waves couldn't control itself. And lots of issues that we wouldn't think about today. Of course, not even knowing that there was a hurricane till it came upon them was really difficult to handle.
It's a really exciting and breathtaking, if you will, story that is part of our family history and that I intend to write a book about someday.
Well, what a lot of people don't realize, it's such a significant part of American history.
It is. And we could go into that. We probably don't have time. But in the end, after 3 days of heroic efforts by the crew and all the male passengers and the female passengers, they were bailing and doing everything they could to keep that ship afloat. They saved all the women and children by working with another ship that was in the vicinity as long as possible in the middle of a hurricane. Oh my gosh, what a story. But in the end, that ship did go down and there were 400 men lost. And my third great grandfather, the officer, ended up being the highest ranking surviving officer of that catastrophe, that crisis. And it's to this day the worst maritime peacetime disaster in American history. And in studying that entire episode and how he handled and reacted to that crisis, I've learned a lot
from my own life. In the moment, on the ship, dealing with all of that, and then in the water, and then later with a lot of legal and things that happened and depositions.
Right, there were lots of repercussions.
Yeah, there were lots of things that he handled very remarkably all along the way.
He went on to live an incredibly productive life here in the Pacific Northwest. That's why I was raised here. That's why it's in my blood. But anyway, none of us probably have been in that kind of crisis, but I do want to relate the, I don't want to say ordinary, but the more common
run-of-the-mill
crisis. Oh, how can you call any crisis run-of-the-mill? But yes, that moving, having a baby, or
a death in the family,
unexpected illness, or unexpected unemployment.
Yeah.
So many things that happen to actually so many of us that is called a crisis. What I think of as a crisis, as opposed to a trial, I think of the trial as being the long-term circumstances that you have to slog through, right?
Yeah.
But a crisis, I think of as a sudden, more unexpected attack,
if you will. Right. Uncontrolled, uncontrollable.
On your marriage or on your family. But it, well, I don't know how uncontrollable it is. Well, I guess it is uncontrollable
in a
sense.
And this is part of the question is, you know, to smooth the relationship at this time, right? That is how we respond to these things is the key. I've heard somebody say, you know, one of these quotes that's somewhere on the internet, basically, that, you know, life is really just these moments of solitude in the midst of all the challenge,
right? You, once in a while, you get a take a little rest at the hotel, peace, and then you're back on the bumpy
and
road.
And I think that that's one of the first steps is just kind of knowing and accepting the fact that there's going to be something.
I got a quote. Right? I got a quote. This is Calamity
Jane
Noun.
Oh,
okay.
Calamity Noun. There's a person named Calamity Noun. Oh, sorry. Though this is the definition of calamity?
Yes.
Thank you.
Now,
okay.
A more than commonly plain and unmistakable reminder that the affairs of this life are not of our own ordering.
An unmistakable reminder. That's it. That's perfect. Yeah.
No, wait. Here's a better one. Groucho Marx. The wise sage Groucho Marx says, it isn't so much that hard times are coming, it's that soft times are going.
Yeah, that's right. That's so true. That's awesome.
So crisis can end, as you intimated right there, in calamity, catastrophe, chaos. It's certainly part of the equation. But crisis can also end up in prosperity, productivity, and progress. Those are my alliterations for the day.
You know, there is, throughout history, big examples of how good things have come out of horrible things, right? You know, and there's two things that quickly
we have a mountain right
come
up
to
the
mind,
street.
Right? The Mount St. Helens is one that went off 1980, and nobody knew what to do, and it turned out the next year, next season of apples out of Washington State, it was the one of the biggest bumper crops that they had in a year because the ash that flew across and settled
created
aerated
fertility.
The ground. And now the new things, new of life is coming. And that was true also of the fires in Yellowstone in 1988.
Oh, yeah. That was heartbreaking at the time.
Unbelievable what's come from that. And that's hard to focus on when you're in the middle of a fire or a volcano?
For all of that, you know, it does help us keep our hope up. But I think we need really some concrete strategies to actually
get through
the crisis, manage it in the moment. So I think that's what our letter writer's asking for. Our wife, Saver, she wants some help for, she said she needs a trauma kit.
Yeah, she needs a trauma kit here for emergency.
I got one more quote for you, though, that I really love. Do you know who Niels Bohr is?
No.
He's a Nobel Prize winning physicist. That just means he's really smart.
Smarter than I am.
And he says,
that's for sure,
prediction is very difficult, especially about the future.
Thank you. We have to quote that? We're attributing that to someone?
Nobel Prize winning physicist. He can't even predict the future.
Boy, I'm really
all
stupid
right
now.
So, knowing that crisis is coming and that's all we can be sure of in this life, it will come, right? I think, like everything else we do here at Wife Savers, first we need to understand a little bit about how men and women differ in their reaction to a crisis. This is very interesting.
Okay, so helping to understand how the other, how your companion may react.
Okay. So normally, women, at least as a woman, I'm going to think in a crisis that I will have an emotional response right out of the gate, right out of the gut. I'm going to be, right? There's a little fear. There's everything, anxiety, the stress, the even maybe some sadness, and, you know, the mama bear comes out me, all kinds of things, but it is a gut and an immediate emotional response. And what's different about men, generally speaking, and I've talked to some real scientists in the field about this, okay, and they all agree on this. So this isn't Ramona making it up. Men have a delayed response, a delayed emotional response. Thank you. In a crisis moment.
Yeah.
Meaning that it will take them approximately and on average 7 times as long as a woman to respond emotionally to a crisis.
So, you know, we've had, a few years ago, you were in a car accident.
Which one?
Not of your fault.
In all fairness.
Yeah, not of your fault.
Wasn't my fault.
No, the 4 times you've had a car accident.
And all the other times when they were with inanimate objects.
That didn't move out of your way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But.
Okay.
But the point being is.
I freaked out.
You freak out.
Oh, I was so freaked out.
And for me, you know, when that happens, it's like, okay. Let's see. Are you safe? You okay? Anybody hurt?
I called you.
Is the car on fire?
You know? You came and you were the voice of reason in that moment.
Yeah.
And you took care of the exchange of the insurance cards.
Right.
And everything was okay. And the other driver was a woman too. So she was as hysterical as
I'm mediating the thing in this round and in this corner.
No, we hugged when we parted and I gave her a book. Seriously. So the point is, I really appreciated that you were more logically inclined in that moment than I was. With that 7 times as long to respond, it was sort of a grace period that kept a sort of cool head during that time. Now, I do remember later that night, we're having dinner. And out of the blue, and I remember Hannah and I looking at each other and going, there it is. Because like 5 hours later or something, you said, you know, the more I think about that accident this morning, the madder I get.
That's right. I want to go talk to that lady. Some things I forgot to say to her.
Exactly. But it's really, you know, I like to think if the world were falling apart, and that is totally possible, right outside my door right now, I probably would freak out. Not that I'm a weak person, but I just have an emotional response. I'd probably get on Pinterest, see what everyone else is doing to handle the crisis. No, I'm teasing. But you would just think very clearly, independently, logically, and I would very much depend on that. And I do actually now appreciate that. But if I didn't understand that and anticipate that that's how you were going to react, as a woman, I could think you were, what, insensitive.
Right, right. Not, you know, why can't you worry about this? And
What's the matter with you? And why aren't you grieving? Why aren't you, you know.
But so conversely now, if the guy here, I look at you flipping out about something, right?
Okay.
And I'm like, what? Stop it. Just settle down, you know?
Which makes me mad.
Right, right. I'm not, as you've well taught in the past, I'm not acknowledging how you feel. I'm not giving you opportunity to express. My brain is going to, let's solve this problem, and we don't know all the facts yet, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And so I have to now understand how you're going to react and let you
process it that way, and to recognize there's actually some value in it.
Yeah, I think that's true. There's value, but also what I've learned too here is you're going to come out of that emotional stage.
Okay. Stage, I like that.
And you go through that process, and as you do
the sooner I can process it, the more Sooner I'm going to calm down.
You're going to calm down. And then you become very specific and focused and organized and problem solving.
Just as you're becoming emotional.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Exactly right.
Yeah, well, it's just we have to give each other a lot of leeway then and respect. And actually, I've learned a lot from you about not responding so immediately to a situation.
Emotionally.
Yeah. And I think maybe you've learned a little bit from me about being sensitive emotionally to those around you and is actually a way to unify our family as well. So we can learn from each other is what I'm saying, but also acknowledge that there is some real biology going on in our initial
reactions. Yeah, and make room for that at the outset, I think will help as then you go through the process.
Yes, I got another fun quote for you right here.
Oh, is it Calamity Jane now? Finally?
Jean Kerr is an author, playwright, and she wrote one of my favorite funny plays, Please Don't Eat the Daisies, you know? And she said, if you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs, it's just possible you haven't grasped the situation.
That's right. So what? She's channeling her inner Rudyard Kipling.
What is this channeling?
If you can keep your head, that's the Rudyard Kipling quote.
Oh, okay.
And then
I get it. Yeah.
She brings it down to where most of us are in our reality.
So it's just possible haven't grasped the situation. Right. I'm thinking about that. A lot of people right now are saying, this virus is no big deal. Are you really grasping the situation? Too funny. Well, I know that as a woman, if you don't respond as immediately and emotionally as I do, I might very well think that you don't really get what's happening. But I think very much you do get what's happening. You're just responding differently.
Yeah, that's a first step then to go through it. Right.
Excellent. All right. So in a crisis, whether you're a man or a woman or a child, we all crave the same thing in the middle or at the onset of a crisis. We want and need companionship.
Yeah, we're in this together.
We're in this together. We've got a sense of camaraderie, unity, alliance. We just got to feel like that's what's why support groups are so helpful. We need companionship, all right? We're going with C's here, 4 C's. We need clarity. We're craving clarity.
Yeah, because often crisis brings chaos.
Chaos and confusion.
There, you gave you 2 more C's.
Yes, 2 more C's. So when I think of clarity, I'm thinking of light, bright, openness, plainness,
vision,
purity, simplicity, definition. Mm-hmm. All of that comes under clarity. So we're looking for clarity. And of course, we're craving calm, the old keep calm and carry on, right?
Right?
We need calm in crisis. We don't like that feeling of high stress, high anxiety. And with calm, you know, what does that mean? You're allaying doubt,
fear
anger, suspicion, you know, all kinds of, you know, you make up stories that are wild and crazy
in a crisis. In the business world, they call it FUD.
Food?
Yeah. Fear, uncertainty, and doubt.
There.
And, you know,
they're like mud.
Yeah, it gets very muddy. I mean, you get even competitors come in and try to create FUD about another product, you know, with the customer to instill fear, uncertainty,
I think bad relationships do the same thing.
Yeah.
A person can try and create fear, uncertainty, and doubt about another person. Okay. It's so counterproductive. It's so unhealthy. So yes, we got to get past that. We need calm. So we have companionship, clarity, calm. And the 4th C is confidence. We're craving that sense of hope and encouragement and optimism and
confidence in each other, right? You have
confidence
that your husband, your wife is going to handle it okay or be okay or whatever.
Okay, good. And confidence in the future, that things are going to, this will pass.
Yeah,
this will get,
go
we'll
away.
Get through this. We'll figure it out. Right. Okay. So we've got, I'm testing you. What are the 4 C's? Because we need them now in our continuing discussion.
Chaos.
No,
that was my
wrong
C. That was my C.
Chaos and confusion and catastrophe and calamity. KFC.
Not KFC.
The other C's.
Yes. Companionship.
Yes.
Right. And then to be clear, clarity.
Clarity.
Calmness.
Calm.
And confidence.
Confidence. Right. All right. So those are the things we want. And we know that our spouse wants, and we know that our children want. Mm-hmm. It's what the whole family needs and craves. So what are we going to do to create companionship, calm, clarity, and confidence? Here's my 8-step plan of action for the family.
That's right. Meet in the basement.
Well, maybe you will, because the first step in the 8-step family, how did I say it? 8-step plan of action for the family.
Trauma kit.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Here's our sort of trauma kit. First thing we're going to do, and because I'm a mariner at heart, we're going to use that ship analogy. First thing you're going to do
is... Well, you went, you know what? You blew past the beautiful lifesaver thing. There it is. I think
you're
that's why
right.
you subconsciously even you call it lifesavers.
A wife saver. You're right.
Yeah, because you're
because
Captain Frazier.
Because of my
Frazier.
Maritime.
That's right.
Oh, you're right. Okay. Here's your wife saver.
Grab on.
Number one, call all hands.
Yeah. Get together.
Okay. So all hands on deck. That is going to help satisfy that need for companionship.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of one of my students who I visited with very recently, who said that her crisis was that she had just recently found out that she had breast cancer.
Mm.
And she was using her sisters as her companions mm-hmm. to fill that need for companionship in a crisis. And they were doing a wonderful job. One had flown all the way across the world to be with her for a few weeks. And that's just incredible. Of course, we need our husband. We need our children. We need support groups. We need to not be afraid to share with others that we are in a crisis.
Yeah, that's often the hardest thing.
Yeah, if you just hole up in your house and pretend and don't let anyone
see. Because
we
see each other at the store or at a PTA or at church or wherever you do. We just naturally want to put on these, you know, not that we put on faces.
Everything's fine.
But that,
how are you? Fine.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Great to see you. How was your week? Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. When in reality, it's, you know, it's the duck below the water that's happening.
Well,
and
we don't want to be the ones who need help. We want to be the ones who are helping.
Right.
Help is a four-letter word, like we said before. So we want to be ready. Just, you know, call all hands, meaning let the people in your life, including your children. Sometimes I try to protect my children by hiding the fact
that
daddy
thing.
Lost his job today.
Yeah, or whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah, right.
And I learned through my own experience as a young mother that my children could be a great source of solace and strength mm-hmm, to me, mm-hmm. actually. And it helped unify us as a family when we discussed openly that we have a crisis going on.
Yeah, and it's
and everybody kind of rose to the challenge.
Right, it's beneficial to them in for their future and how to deal with it.
Oh, that's true.
Right?
That's true.
But I really like this call all hands is not just the family.
Right.
Right. That's the most important thing.
Right.
But certainly there is the what your village is or whatever that's
the
there.
People at church.
Yeah, or wherever.
Yeah. Let everyone know and then be ready to receive help mm-hmm. and receive mm-hmm. love. Who's helping who? I had this talk with this student who had a neighbor who had offered to help, but she had said, no, we're fine. I said, no, listen, it's going to be of great worth for your neighbor to help, not just to you, to her. Who is helping her?
Yeah.
Who? By you, when you allow her to help you, you're blessing
mm-hmm.
her life.
Mm-hmm.
She feels good. She feels love. She feels like a better person. Let her help.
Yeah,
everyone's
we don't,
blessed.
Okay. So much value outside of you.
So that's number one out of our 8-step plan of action for the family is call all hands. Number two, find the facts.
I'm big one on that one.
That's number two for a reason, right? Go to, you find the friends, find the family, find the facts. You've got to have clarity. Mm-hmm. Remember? Mm-hmm. That's, and you can't do it without facts. Mm-hmm. Facts are your friends. So you get on the internet, you talk to the doctor, you just find out the facts. And this is really critical right now with this virus.
Yeah, with the, oh, absolutely.
With the coronavirus. There's
so much, so much
when
stuff
we get
out
the
there.
Facts, we're able then to make decisions, logical and reasonable decisions.
And I think too, with bringing this down to a couple, I know, you know, when I've lost a job in the past or something that happened to me that's going to affect the family, it's hard to talk about. Oh. It's difficult to say nobody wants me, right? Mm. At a work, or mm-hmm. we don't have any money, or mm-hmm. whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And so from a couple, you've got to be able to be willing to communicate and be open in a lot of
we're going to talk about communication.
Yeah,
big
but
time.
But and when we have over and over throughout these podcasts,
mm-hmm.
but
I have some
now
specifics, though, for,
that's good because
for
now
these crucial kind of
yeah at this time, and you think mm-hmm. I think about to our listener, you know, the trauma kit and is you've got to be nail it down, boil it down to the couple being good at the at open at this time.
Oh, that's so good. And openness is part of the clarity
right.
thing. So
exactly.
focus on the facts. And when you do that, I think it's easier to be a little more open too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If yeah. Okay. Number three then is clear the table. You know what I mean by that?
I get told that a lot.
No, I'm thinking of the captain's quarters. And they come in and they clear the table, right. throw everything off the table, pull the, pull the map out. Okay, let's get serious about this. We gotta figure this out,
yeah,
make some plans.
Great.
So we're gonna apply the facts we have now and set our chart a course, which is actually number four, chart the course. But before we can chart the course, we have to, number three, clear the table. And that just means, and this applies to being calm. It will help bring calm.
Well, because you're getting focused.
You're getting focused. You're simplifying. Mm. You're prioritizing. Mm-hmm. You're like, we have one job and it's to survive this crisis.
Yeah.
So let's clear the table. Just last night, we had a wonderful conversation.
I was just thinking
Were
about that.
Were you thinking about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I was.
And they have something of a little crisis going on. And just in the past week.
Some of our
and
children.
So, yeah, our own children.
Yeah.
And so we were really proud of them to hear that they had basically cleared the table. They were letting go of things in their life. They made determinations that things had been really important to them very recently. They're like, you know what? They're not as important as we thought they were. And they're clearing the table and they're getting very focused so that they have the mental and emotional and even physical space
mm-hmm.
to really channel their energy towards this crisis,
you know, I think
and resolving
that, and
the crisis.
This example of the conversation we had last night is indicative of, I think, of a lot of us when something does come into our lives that disrupts, you know, this is not how I saw my life playing out, right? This is not the plan that I signed up for, whatever, to be able to do these things. I love how you're laying this out with your the plan of action. But here, the ability and what we saw in our children last night was the ability to be very honest about things and real.
Honest assessment.
Honest assessment and realize that, you know, these things that we're going to now put on the back shelf or clear off the table, we're not throwing them away.
Right. That's true.
Right.
You can be just setting them aside for
right.
a time until
we got to focus.
Resolve,
we get this clarity, get this focus, do all these
gotta
things.
Got to channel the energy.
Get through this mm-hmm. and understand that you're going to get back to that desire, goal, whatever
go.
It is.
Yeah.
I'm also, I don't know why this popped into my head, but when we lived in London, I was one of my friends at work there was also an expat. And I asked him, because we were brand new, and I said, well, you know, how are you doing this? And tell me, you know,
managing
yeah,
the expat thing.
Yeah. And he said, you know what? We decided to not save as much money because we wanted to go see things in Europe.
Oh.
And that just stuck in my head that he was very thoughtful and organized and planning.
They restructured their priorities
exactly.
as a couple.
And that's not a crisis, certainly, no. Going and seeing the things of Europe.
Component of a successful partnership and relationship,
exactly.
And progress as a family.
And so I think if you apply that to the all hands on deck stuff, that will really, really help. I just think your idea of clarity and clearing the table and calming things down, but just understanding it's not the end of the world. You're going to get back to those things.
There you go.
But your energy and your focus needs to be on this.
We're not going to be being fragmented during a time of crisis is a really bad idea.
Right.
You got to really singularize.
Fair enough. Spell that.
I have one job to do, and it's to survive this crisis. Right. Okay. So we're going to clear the table. And, you know, I've always loved Gandhi saying there's more to life than increasing its speed. So sometimes clearing the table means slowing down.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Right, right, right.
We're not going to be able to progress in this certain way as fast as we thought. We were like saving money.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Right. Okay. So we have call all hands, find the facts, clear the table. And I said, number four is, Now we're ready to chart the course.
Okay.
You can't chart the course first. Mm-hmm. You need facts first, right? You need all hands with you to put together that course. And you need to clear the table so you can think clearly and you're calmed down. And now we're rational. We got the facts and everything else. We can now chart a course. And the confidence was our fourth C, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
And charting a course helps increase everyone's confidence in a crisis.
Oh, totally.
Like, I know where I'm heading. I know where we're going. We have a plan. So charting the course. And when you have a when you chart the course, like we thought of clearing the table, laying out the map, you can see where the rocks are.
Mm-hmm.
You can see where the shoals are. And now we're not just steering blindly into this storm. We know where we're,
you know,
got to be careful, if you will.
I'm remembering an experience I had in business years ago at a very crucial crisis time for this large public company that I had a significant position in. And we had a meeting in a room, and there was maybe six or eight of us, and everybody had it was chaotic. Everybody had a different opinion or a different problem to solve or a different emotional connection or a bias, right? And we were going along, and the head of the sales organization was the big kahuna, the 800-pound gorilla in the room. And he was listening to everybody. He was very aware and engaged. And then he just stopped everybody. And he said, okay, now stop. And he pointed around the room. And he said, okay, Bill, I want you to go and do this. Bob, this is your job.
Oh.
And he came, you know, Dale, go blah, 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 whatever it is.
What was the feeling?
That was the whole thing. I can still remember this. I'm so sorry. The calm, the clarity, all this stuff you're laying out was there. It just kind of the fog cleared and everybody went and did it. And so, you know, if this is the family coming together, you know, there's somebody leading that family who needs to take all that information in, as you're saying, and then say, okay, here's what we need to do.
I love
it.
Right. Which would be husband, wife, mom and dad. Right.
Yeah. Right. Right.
And what that would do for the whole family, for the, I love, love, love. Okay. I love how you take all my ideas about relationships and translate them into the business world.
Well, that's
or connect
all,
them to the business
that's
world.
That's all it is. All well, relationships.
It's true.
It is.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. All right. So we have call all hands, find the facts, clear the table, chart a course, and ready for the next step?
I am.
Number five is raise the sails.
Okay. Wait a second. Where's man the poop deck here?
Well,
we
you
have
can
that?
Do that.
Okay.
Scrub the poop deck.
Well, yes. I did that for a living for a while. I'm going to be in charge of the poop deck. I don't want to have to scrub it. What is the poop deck anyway? And who came up with that idea? I want to talk to that person.
Raise the sails.
Okay.
All right. That's way more inspiring, I think. And that's what we need. We need confidence. This is another confidence builder. We've charted our course, which gives us some more confidence, calm, all of that clarity. But raising the sails means let's take at least one immediate step.
Yeah, action. There's action.
Right. Immediate action. What's the first step on our course of action that we just did a number, our charter course, and let's do it. Mm-hmm. Because taking action, actually doing something.
Accomplishing.
Just fills in the middle of a crisis and gives you a sense of control.
Right.
It gives you a sense of this is going to, we can do this. We're going to make it. Just taking one step, at least one step.
It is so critical, the first step, because it when you have this, what seems to be an insurmountable issue, you, by just engaging once and accomplishing that first
goal. Even if it's
goal,
a small thing.
Even if it's a little thing, it shows that, you know, this is going to work. I've got some momentum.
Right. I have power.
Yeah, you have
I'm
efficacy.
Not powerless,
right.
Which is what makes us all feel so scared, like that ship floundering out there in the hurricane. We hate that feeling. All right, so raise the sails. Let's get to work. Catch the next wind that comes up. Now, as I said, I think Call All Hands is about companionship, find the facts, clarity, clear the table, calm, chart a course, confidence, raise the sails, confidence. But my last three in this 8-step plan really, I think, inspire all four. Companionship, clarity, calm, and confidence. All right? So number 6 is use the bullhorn.
I always want one. I was like, all hands on deck. Give me that. You know, that was my dad's job in the Navy on a merchant ship.
What? Yeah. I didn't know that.
He was on a ship that would deliver goods
he
to.
He was like the.
He was, the captain
the
said something.
Caller?
He was the Sigourney Weaver from
Galaxy Quest.
Whatever the computer says, the captain said.
That is a perfect analogy. Okay, I have one job. From Galaxy Quest. If anyone else knows that, narrate them verbatim like our family does. But what I'm talking about, use the bullhorn, is that we have to communicate, over communicate.
Yeah.
Because in a crisis.
Yeah, everybody hears things so differently.
You hear things
differently. Or you don't hear them.
Or you swear you never heard that. Because your brain is so confused, engaged, and foggy in a crisis. Yeah. Really, in a crisis, our physiology goes to the fight or flight response.
Right.
And that just kind of drains our brain of every creative inkling. You know, we act more like the instinctive animals. You know, we're thinking like a grizzly bear or something instead of the human being that we are. And so sometimes it may take repetition to get the message clear and out there. So throughout an entire crisis, you have to communicate more than you ever have before in your family.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to have to be a very concerted effort in your marriage to, I'm going to say, over communicate. You think I've said this a million times. Say it again.
And use different methods of communication.
Yeah,
right?
That's a good way.
Just telling somebody something, you know, is one way, but the visual.
Oh, that's a great idea.
You know,
reminders.
Whatever.
Hang up reminders. This is our goal.
This is how we're going to work through it. And this is where we're at on this thing.
Mm.
You know, create a Gantt chart if you need to.
Thank you notes to the
whatever.
Children. Thanks for being so positive today. Or
right.
For helping your sister or babysitting for me.
Multiple ways of communicating.
Yeah, I love that.
It's really helpful.
Well, on a ship, I love the old movies and any representation of the old sailing ships in the 1700s and 1800s, because you'll have the captain say, you know, tacked right or whatever.
Man the poop deck.
And then the guy next to him says, tacked right. And then the guy down on the lower deck says, tacked right. And then the guy down on the other side of the ship says, tacked right. And it's just passed on and on and on. And the same message said over and over and over.
You just want to make sure that the person who's supposed to receive that message doesn't hear tack left.
Yeah, right.
Right. So you got to be clear.
You have to pass the same message.
That's right.
But that's the whole point is we're going to use the bullhorn, over communicate. That doesn't mean to yell, by the way.
Yeah. I like the bullhorn. Make sure you have batteries for your bullhorn.
You have to use all our other wife saver principles about how to communicate in a positive way. All right. Number 7, this again is going to help us with companionship, clarity, calm, and confidence. We're going to focus on the horizon.
Yeah, on your goal. You got to stay on it because that
you
changes.
Have to keep moving. You have to keep moving. Even if the ship is a little damaged or off kilter, keep your eye on the horizon. The other thing about keeping your eye on the horizon that I learned when I was on a tall ship between Bermuda and New York as a crew member, that's another old story. I didn't get seasick. All my friends, us landlubbers, they all were deathly ill, down in stairs in their hammocks, and I was on deck right in the riding the waves right through the storm, focusing on the horizon. It's an old sailor's trick. So
point of reference.
You don't get so sick. You don't get so bogged down in the undulation of the emotions going on and everything if you keep your eye on the horizon, or as you said, on your goal. Because what you're doing is you're moving towards something, yes, but you're also moving away from something, catastrophe.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you made the point about doing something and keep moving. I remember as a kid in a canoe with my father, and I learned that in a river that's moving, water that's moving, you can't just get in the canoe and go down the river. You can't sit there.
You can do that in an air tube.
You can. But the point is, you can do it, but the real point is you have no control.
Oh, in a canoe.
Or, really, I guess, anything. Whatever.
Yeah, any vehicle.
You don't have control unless you're moving faster or slower than the water.
What? Say that again.
You have to be moving at a different speed than the water is, because your oar that you have in, that you stick down to, maybe if you're sitting in the back and you want to steer, has to have friction. It has to have force against it, like any rudder of a ship.
So you have more control if you're taking, if you're being proactive.
That's it. And if you don't, you are subject to the whims of that river. When it's going to, you're going to go where it's going to go.
And you very well end up upside down.
That's right. You'll be sideways pretty soon. And so you have to manage how you move. And so you think about this crisis that's flowing, you know, you're flowing along. If you just give up and just sit there,
you
give up total control. You'll be at the whim.
Wow.
So.
Okay.
You gotta.
Interesting.
Gotta do that.
That wasn't one of my steps. Does it fit under focus on the horizon?
Well, it's about.
But it's more about the raising the sails, isn't it?
Yeah.
Take action.
You know, I think it's all about action. And the other quote that comes to my mind is, you know, no battle plan survives the first encounter with the enemy.
I think you've used that on the podcast before.
I probably have.
It's one of your favorites.
That's it. I have it in my back pocket here. It's one of those.
That's so good.
But see, you know, you're going to make a plan. You're going to chart the course. You're going to go raise the sails and all that stuff. And then you're going to manage the experience. I think you have to continually review.
That brings me to number eight, which is flex and refresh.
Okay, yeah, that's a good way to put it.
That just means, obviously, you're going to have to be flexible in this process, which is what you're intimating here. That's part of actually taking control, is also being willing to review what new circumstances I am in or we are in and adjust as necessary. So that might mean pushing out some objectives that you said, by this date, we're going to try and have this taken care of. Well, it may be that you need to push that out for another couple of weeks or a couple months or whatever. You may need to seek out and add resources to your solution, to your course that you've charted. And you might need to clarify or reassign roles in the family as you decide what course you're charting, know, what you're going to do. What you always are talking about business, and I'm thinking of a business or a corporation that's in crisis is going to do like your 800-pound gorilla did, you know, saying you do this and you do that and you do this and you do that. And that is clear and that is helpful. But I want to say that in a family, it may require, we're talking mostly to wives here in the podcast, it may require that one day you are the captain And the next day, you're the first mate.
Yeah, right. And it just ebbs and flows depending on the situation.
Or you might be the navigator.
Mm-hmm.
Or another day, you might be the ship's doctor. You might be in charge of the rigging. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
That it requires, within a family unit, a great deal of flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
And just know up front that whatever chart you course is going to be changing a lot along
or
the way.
Whatever course you chart.
Yes.
Not whatever chart you course.
Did I say that?
Sorry.
I'm so good about that.
We know what you meant.
I still say cop on the corn. Ever since I was a little girl.
That's right.
All right. So you're going to love this. This is Thomas Edison. He says, hell, there are no rules here. We're trying to accomplish something.
Yeah, that's so true. Well,
but I would like to say, we're trying to survive something.
Yeah.
You just got to get that, be very, very flexible.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Maybe even some of the family rules and traditions you've had in the past, you might have to be a little flexible with them, as in, you know, we're not going to be able to do Thanksgiving the way we always thought we were this year. And it's just this year, like you said, and we'll get back to it. It's part of clearing the table.
Right.
Okay. Excellent. All right. So those were the 8-step plan of action for the family. And now I want to touch on 5 musts for the marriage.
Mm.
Ready for this?
Okay.
You got to have faith no matter what.
Well, that's so true.
You've got to have optimism no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Faith and optimism. And I think that's easier to do when you can sort of reframe. All right. That's what faith and optimism requires, reframing. So if there's a lot of anger going on because you've got a frustration over a blocked goal, this wasn't supposed to happen, and now I can't do this, or we can't do that, or whatever, you reframe it as, it's not so much a blocked goal as we've been rerouted. This is a new tact, going back to the ship analogy.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a lot of sadness going on, we're going to feel like we're missing something or we've lost something. We're going to reframe it as in, we're going to look for compensatory blessings.
Mm.
What are we gaining as a result of this experience that we might never have known or felt or understood before?
Boy, that's a hard one to see while you're in the middle of it.
Especially sadness.
To think about that you will be compensated somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a higher level one.
That's
important.
Sometimes we want to have growth without challenges. This is Paul V. Johnson. Sometimes we want to have growth without challenges and to develop strength without any struggle. But growth cannot come by taking the easy way. We clearly understand that an athlete who resists rigorous training will never become a world-class athlete. We must be careful that we don't resent the very things that help us put on the divine nature. We become better people through surviving a crisis.
And the analogy of an athlete or exercising is used a lot, that the only way you build muscles is having resistance.
Mm.
And the only way you build the character or the inner strength or the fortitude.
Or the empathy,
is by having resistance.
Mm.
And you have to work
and life
through
makes
it.
Sure we have
boy. Yeah,
another.
Boy. That's right.
So this is, again, the 5 musts for the marriage: faith, optimism, be present.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. What?
Yeah,
what
to
often,
check out, you know, often.
Yes, it's so easy to go into your own world of self-pity and worry.
I've done that. I'm really good at that. I've got a master's degree in that.
Then what happens? You're leaving everyone else alone and afloat.
Yeah.
You've lost the companionship that everyone is craving, including you.
And I think that probably is one of, you think back to our original question here from the reader or listener, can be one of the biggest things is checking out, right?
Right.
And for her to feel like she's lost the connection.
Yes.
At
the very moment that you need the connection.
Right.
Now, that being said, faith, optimism, be present. I also want to say be generous, meaning be respectful.
Mm-hmm.
Give your loved ones and yourself a wide berth to process in the way you process. So there are going to be times when you do need to withdraw, for instance. There are going to be times that your spouse needs some time alone, maybe.
Yeah, and just respect that.
Right. So you just, you treat it with kindness. You give space, mm-hmm. you know. You also take responsibility when you need to. Ownership mm-hmm. of whatever brought on the crisis or whatever. There's just so much in the idea of being generous. Mm-hmm. It means you're just going to have to grow out and up, and that heart's got to open up a little more than ever before. But again, that goes back to the whole idea that a crisis actually can bring on or build character us, right?
Yeah, it should.
So be generous. And the fifth one is be fair. All right. And that goes back to the point you made earlier about communicate.
Right.
Be open with each other.
Right.
You got to be fair in your, you can't be fair in your judgments of one another if you don't really understand what's going on. So you got to say, help me understand. And then you got to be willing to open up.
Yeah. When you say communicate, I think most people go to the default thought of that is I need to talk. I need to
express
or unload. Mm-hmm. And yet what you're really saying is you need to understand. And communication
Listen.
Is the two-way street or whatever.
Yeah. And it takes a lot of listening with love.
But you know component. What?
That is a big component. I think it's such a big component. We should use another podcast to talk about it. Okay? How to communicate during a crisis.
Well, I think we have one out there that's kind of
no. That's
that,
about
right?
when you don't see eye to eye.
Oh, well,
so
it
that's
could be a
more
crisis.
About, no, this is in a crisis.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because the first cracks in a relationship,
are going to
show up in the communication.
Right.
In a crisis. All right.
Yeah.
You see, the stress starts to show first in the way mm-hmm. or the manner in which you're communicating with mm-hmm. each other. That is worthy of another whole podcast. So I think we'll tackle
so
I don't think we have time to tack it on here. Shall we do that? All right. Let's tack that on to our next podcast about how to communicate in a crisis. All right. So let's review the five musts for the marriage. Faith, mm-hmm. optimism. Mm-hmm. Those cannot die or the marriage will die.
They're foundational.
Yes. Faith, optimism, and we work at that by reframing things, the anger and the sadness mm-hmm. and so forth. But also what it really boils down to, faith and optimism, is believing that there are forces out there that are constantly at work that are turning our imperfect circumstances into perfecting experiences.
Wow, that's if you can grab onto that and keep thinking about that through the process,
that
then
there are
you can be successful.
Forces in the universe, and everybody has a different belief system that mm-hmm. way.
Different,
but that
definition
are constantly
of that.
At work, turning our imperfect circumstances into perfecting experiences. Mm. That we are becoming perfected through the process. So that's what faith and optimism really boils down to. And then we're going to keep that relationship on an even keel, if you will, by being present, trying very hard to be present, but being generous mm-hmm. and being fair as well. All right. And then if we can do all of that, our crisis can end in prosperity instead of a catastrophe, if you will. And I love this beautiful quote from Mark Twain.
Samuel Clemens.
Yeah, the one and only. And he truly was the sage to beat all sages.
He was.
And he said, 20 years from now, you will be more disappointed by the things that you didn't do than by the ones you did do.
Mm-hmm.
So throw off the bowlines, sail away from the safe harbor, catch the trade winds in your sails, explore, dream, discover. And believe it or not, unquote, and believe it or not, a crisis in your marriage and in your family, if you're all experiencing a crisis together, you will be exploring new territory. You'll have to stretch as a couple in a family. and it will instigate new dreams that you may never have had before. It may take you in new directions. You may discover things about one another and about yourself that you never would have known otherwise. As much as we appreciate you listening to the Wife Savers podcast, we would love you even more if you enrolled in my Wife Savers education program. Listen to this student. I have read a lot of books, but it's difficult to try new things and sustain them long enough, especially without a big picture. I figured we'd hit a ceiling. This was as good as it gets. But the roof is off. Because of Ramona and Wife Savers, we are reaching new levels of love, understanding, and companionship. Please come and join us at wifesavers.org.
Home is with you wherever that may be.